and we have the base plans put together for you guys that we talked about in the interview, sort of setting that baseline. And then we have a list of things that we've gone through with the staff and with the management team that seem like they want to be included in this space needs assessment. And then hopefully what we're trying to get tonight from you guys is big ideas, sort of things you want to look at and make sure that we cover in our plans. And then after that, we can kind of go over next steps and where we see the project heading.
Okay. Tiffany Ash. We're going to start just by just showing you some recent trends that we've seen. Reasons that we've been called in to renovate or do master plans similar to this one.
Can you speak up just a little bit? It's really hard to hear.
Okay.
I don't think you know, we have a microphone, but I'm sorry.
Okay. Some of them you're already, you know, pretty good with, but some of them you could see doing here. So we'll try to go through that. And then we'll tell you what people said in our staff meetings. Okay. So this is youth spaces. Youth spaces is one of the biggest reasons we get called in to do master plans and renovations. A lot of times the youth spaces are many adult spaces. Definitely current trends are to do face-out shelving, to do larger activity, hands-on learning spaces, to have space for different age groups. We need specific furniture for grade school kids, like toddler, and then middle school, and then programming spaces. So those are usually things you see here, and here's just some examples of spaces we've done recently with lots of color.
Early learning areas, these have been super successful, especially in the last 5 to 8 years, I would say. Really dedicated spaces for kids to play hands-on learning. So I think one of the biggest goals is to make sure kids come to the library and kind of while they're having fun, they're also learning how to do things and getting introduced to the library as a space that's both entertaining and or, you know, informational. So what we really try to do is have spaces that inspire, spaces that are scaled for kids, spaces that kind of really allow for them to come back more than once and not get tired of things that they see. So you'll see sort of some of the things we have are puppet theaters and kind of markets, electronic sort of light rights, hands-on learning on the table with Legos. Again, it's a lot of things that you can do more than once so that you're not coming back and sort of seeing the same puzzle solved the same way time and time again. So really bright, really colorful. We really work hard as staff to make sure that we're doing things that your community supports. And then making sure, again, that everything is age-appropriate, similar to what Tiffany was talking about before.
Tween and teen. So sometimes in the youth area, we'll kind of address the younger teens, and then a floor like this one is the older teens. So that's what we've been sort of distinguishing between those two groups, and again, depending on who is coming most to the library. So these are actually a mix of this one's high school, this one is middle school, virgin into high school, this one's definitely tween, and this one's a huge tween, and a lot of kids coming in.
One of the trends we've seen, especially too, is especially from the hours from 3 to 6, there's a ton of kids kind of influxing into the library, kind of using it as that between space between school and going home for dinner. So we do a lot of entertaining. It's mixing in, so there's gaming, art tables, craft tables, lots of different types of seating because some kids like to be in groups, some kids like to be by themselves from day one. You know, different days it actually can change. And then at the same time, some of them are introducing the collection, while other ones are kind of sort of keeping the collection outside the room because we tend to find that adults tend to read teen books also. So sometimes they have money going in the space.
Study rooms, which you do have quite a few study rooms and you do have various sizes. We did talk about tweaking that a little bit, but that is something we usually add more of to libraries, but I think here it's kind of probably more tweaking the spaces that you do have to offer a few different sizes.
And there was one thing that we did see on the list, Glenn's side library. We did do a smaller study room that's like a 6 to 8 person that's divisible. It just has a small sound panel in there that we can close up and turn it into two-person study rooms. We do tend to find that sometimes, a lot of times, the study rooms have 1 to 2 people, even in a 4 to 6 person study room. So that really gives you that versatility to kind of switch them back and forth depending on what has the most people are looking for, the most library that day.
And also show you different ways they can be furnished.
Yeah.
As part of this discussion. This is something that came up in our discussions with staff, which we'll discuss later, but really comfy adult seating and different types of adult seating. So maybe you don't have study spaces or maybe an actual study room, you can have a study space like this one or this one that might block some of the noise out. And then maybe a comfy place, you know, fake fireplace or a real fireplace.
And this is one of the things that we did talk about in the interview was really using furniture as a solution as much as we use construction. So when we do start to show you guys options for the floor plans, they will be fully furnished. So you can understand both scale and then again, the different types of environments that you can create just by using different furniture types.
You know, this was also in your in the write-up you gave us, but rooms that can be, like these are rooms that can be opened up so these glass walls just fade away, so if you need more seating in an area. A lot of times we'll do this in story rooms so that there's never a room that's not in use. So if it's not being used, you can just move the wall. If this one was also done with the intent of making a bigger space out of it. It worked out. This one actually is that. So this is kind of a maker space and then it's a story room at the same time. So libraries that don't have as much space, they can be flexible in their use in their programming spaces.
And I think that I'm starting to get a question.
Oh, yeah,
did you have a question?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw your hand.
No, I was just scratching my forehead, going, wow. So impressed.
Makerspaces, we really find that the scale and types of makerspaces really vary between communities. So some can be really high tech technology, some can be more hands-on crafting, some can be a little more of a furniture solution with lots of storage, and some can be actually moving tables, lots of laser printers, lots of laser printers. So we'll work with your staff, work with you guys to really find that balance between the amount of equipment you want to have on display and for people to use. And then making sure that it does sort of reflect the community that you have. And then it's kind of looking forward, making sure that we're inspiring people to use the space once it's. It's actually lots of different looks at a makerspace too. So some are a little more finished and colorful, some are a little bit more raw. And again, this is just designs that we've created using between staffs and boards, making sure that they're happy with what the community is using.
And we have some that are carts, the whole thing is equipment on carts, and then they. Around the library.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So how often will people come back after you've set it up in it and then say, no, let's read my future? Does that have a long-term?
It's more a furniture layout thing. We have learned from our very first one where we didn't really have enough counter space. And probably not in storage, so we had discussed that quite a bit, but and power depths. I don't think that we've.
And yeah, and one of the things I think too is that typically the tables either are height adjustable flip top and rolling, or rolling and or height adjustable or flip top. So they really can change the way the room is used. I think we are typically like rules we do is like things are on display. I have this really dumb saying, which is like I have 8 hammers because I go to my garage, I put it away, I don't know where it's at, I buy another one, then buy another one, I have 8. So we really want to have people see what's happening, see the tools that are in them, see what's possible. So things on display, ton of storage, like Tiffany was talking about, lots of sinks to make sure that things can be cleaned and washed up, hard surfaces, things that can take a beating. Those are kind of the general continuity that we have between our bigger spaces, and then we start to tweak them for different age groups. Different people that you guys see before at the library, and then different size spaces. So sometimes, some libraries we have, but you know, Elmer's is a major space that is absolutely ginormous, the basement, and then the one at Bloomingdale or at Prospect Heights is a little bit smaller. So we just have to make sure that we're kind of tuning into what either fits in what we're doing.
I'll point out 2 things in these photos. This was an early one also. See the power right there, and they did not lay all the tables to take advantage of that power, so then we started doing this. So that's one, and then another, you can see here, like, they have lots of, there's some counter space behind us too in this photo. They did not know what they were going to put on these counters, but they did know they're going to need power, so this gray line you see that's built with power and data the whole way. So we just make everything flexible so that you can do what you want.
Yeah.
It can be cracks between technology or can change over time.
And I would say that the rooms that can change the most and have enough space to do multiple things in the room at once have the most versatility. So some have a little bit of teaching side or a little bit of AV that they can use as a monitor like this, and then have equipment that's separate. So again, you can have two things kind of happening simultaneously or throughout the day. I think it just makes for a better space.
I've been doing this a lot. A lot.
COVID?
Yeah, no. I think we did six that
year
within those years. And they were just fast. They were as fast as we could have done.
So, I don't know if that's it kind of came up a little difficult.
Carolyn challenged. She said there was no way possible to get it done. We're like, challenge accepted.
Display. So, this is just making room for nice displays, especially in the lobby space. I'm just kind of showing you some are sort of, a travel section featuring one collection, and some are new material. So it's just something we'd like to make room for. I know you're really tight on a collection here, but we'll kind of find spots for it. And library of things. So right now you have the one shelving unit with the tabs. We think it could be a little bit more visible. We've done some libraries where things are out, like you see here. We've done some where it's similar to the way you do it, where the tags are here, we go to the desk, but just to let everybody know that you have different things here to check out, it's really obvious, so that would be something that we'll work on.
Have you ever initiated, I was just at Schaumburg recently, they have for their open house they had on Saturday, they had a computer thing, and they had the library of things on a computer board that you could just check out. Kind of different motif.
Yeah.
Have you ever, it displays other things, like all the activities going on, but have you ever initiated anything like that?
We did that space.
Yeah.
Oh, you did that space?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I know, I just talked to Andy today, the director, and I said, you hit a grand slam.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's such a transformation.
It was, I was in heaven. It was wonderful.
Oh, good. That's great. That's awesome. And actually,
didn't know you did that.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Excellent.
I would say as much interaction as we can get with the library things is really the goal, I think. So digital, I think, is really important. And then it's just, the digital even lets you kind of organize in a different way, because you don't have, and then Tiffany and I were talking about this today with some of these images. Sometimes when everything's out on the shelf, when it gets super popular and nothing's on the shelf, it can feel a little unretail-y. So we Sean or Northbrook, sort of use the monopoly idea, which is like, you take the cards and you go get property. But again, it really is just making sure people are aware of it and getting it in the spot that it's displayed in a way. And this has to do with the slides before, which too, is really getting things displayed correctly so that when you walk in and it's intuitive, you understand what you're looking at, and you understand the potential of things that you can borrow.
This one's sort of funny. This is a backyard movie kits. So it's a big kind of really suitcase of a blow-up screen and the projector, and they have enough room in their staff areas. So we actually put it out on the floor and just put it in this thing so you can see through it. And then people know it's really popular, so people know they have it. Okay. And Benny, what you have, we talked about, making a little bit more of it here. But it's been something that we do, just a nice place for people to sit and eat.
And I think the vending cafe too has potential for different speeds. So sometimes you want to be quick, you want to grab something and eat a little quickly and get out of there. Sometimes you want to have a chair by the window, kind of sit down, take the paper, and take a little more time. So I think, again, in this image, you can see, there's a couch on the back side of that. So there's four different ways you can sit just within a room that's only, 20 by 30. So again, I really think that versatility of the types makes for an environment that lets people have different experiences each time they come. Which I think is really important in terms of when you're in a footprint that's more or less set, you really want to make sure those spaces are used throughout the day.
So outdoor again, which you have, but we talked about even making more of it with your lawn area, but this has just been something that's growing in all libraries, so trying to figure out how to program outside.
And I will say, one Carroll Stream was a really beautiful project where we kind of interviewed the library actually, and we met with the director before, and we walked in, the back of the library was all blocked with these little tiny windows above, and like, oh, it's back there. So you go behind the library, it was all this beautiful woodlands with these nature trails, and the community walked past, but they couldn't see it. So we actually turned the whole back of the library into glass, and everybody thought we added 10,000 square feet to the library, because first we put in natural light, which is beautiful. It was on the north side of the building, so it was all indirect light. There's outdoor space that people can take a book outside and read. There's outdoor programming. There's a little youth pavilion that they go and hold outdoor story times. And all the woods and everything was already there. We just took advantage of what was already in place. So it's like good bones, and then amping up those good bones. So whatever you have that's really great, because a lot of your outdoor spaces are amazing. It's even the one that's in the front that used to be the old entry, has that real potential to kind of be that space that can activate spaces around it, if that makes sense.
These are just kind of for us to refer to as you guys talk. Tell us what you're looking for.
Do we want to go through the list from the staff?
Yeah. All right, so we'll go through this sort of quickly. This is what staff came up with. For the exterior, they felt like everybody has to kind of traipse through the adult area to get to the patio that you do have. It would be nice if there were a different way for kids to get there, especially. And to make it a little more obvious and just better wayfinding. Wayfinding is kind of a theme that came up for a lot of things. The patio is a little bit too sunny, so I thought it was a bit bent shape, whether it's a sail or umbrella. Better access to the large open programming area right behind the patio. The area that Dan mentioned, the picnic area. There was talk about that you could have food trucks come, and that could be an area that could be more active when the food trucks are here. A walk-up book drop, and storage for
it does seem like there's lots of things happening around the outside of the building. From what we've heard from Mallory and Kevin and the staff, they tend to be separate. So you'll have programs outside, or you'll have programs inside, and they don't really tend to lead very much between. And we only have, six good months in the Midwest to really use the outside, so we want to make sure we can activate that as much as possible and give you guys the most potential for programming, both youth and adult, that you guys want. General things, renovate the bathrooms. They're just old. They just need to be redone. And then bottle fillers for obviously, that's just a good idea. Better signage and wayfinding. Again, we said that earlier, but it was really, when you walk in, you want to be able to see things and people and materials and where youth is usually a good idea. So that's one thing that I think we need to work on absolutely. Service desk, updated ample space. They're just kind of cramped. And some are the reference desks are tiny. Service desk is big. So I think we're going to look at sizing those accurately and make sure that they're programmed with the staff to make sure that it has the needs that they want. But there's not just extra space that we can use for other things. And then more storage. Every library we work with wants to double their storage no matter what. Sure. So if we just wrote storage on there and electricity, that would probably be enough. But these are just good points.
Can we get a copy
of that? Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Give you the information.
Yeah.
So coming in through the front door, people have trouble finding these two doors to get to this meeting room. They have a little bit of trouble finding their way to the youth area. Make that a little bit obvious. This meeting room, we heard that the kitchen isn't really used, so that can be used in a different way. Figuring out a way to get all this stuff out of here. It's a little cluttered in here. Get the AV to be a better situated in the space.
We're not sure how we're going to do that,
right? Yeah.
I have a question. As you looked at this, you're starting to look at this, are you feeling like it has to be within the footprint that exists? Because if I look at the square footage that we have for our community compared to other libraries, we're on the very low end of that spectrum.
Sure.
So I don't want to see space needs analysis, just assuming off the bat that there's no potential that the size isn't going to change.
Absolutely. So again, we talked about it a little bit in the interview, but we will show you levels of schemes. So we will show you schemes that sort of try to solve the issues that we found throughout talking to you and staff and the community with kind of the least amount of construction as possible. And so you can see what it means to spend money and dollars where you want to put them. And then the second scheme we'll look at sort of staying with that footprint and maybe spending and moving things around, you know, wiping things out and kind of building new. And then the third or fourth scheme we'll have expansion ideas. Because I think it's important for you to see what it does. You know, if you add an addition to the adult side and you make room for a lot of adult seating or space that needs to be beyond or staff space, I think you'll be able to understand what you get for the dollars that you spend to achieve those goals. So yes, absolutely, we'll be showing you expansion options for sure.
Okay, then we'll just get through these and then we'll the lobby, just brushing up the finishes, and then the Friends is a little sloppy right now, so we can either put it somewhere else or fix it where it is and make sort of more of a bookstore feel. The hub, the room over here, is not being used as intended, so we should sort of rethink that room as part of this. The library of things that we just talked about, we need more storage as that collection grows, which it will, and then figure out the display. And then there's a lot of congestion at the there's a lot of congestion at the stair going up to the youth floor, the book drops and then the surf desk, so kind of reworking that area so everyone's not all together there. And then maybe the collections that are by the surf desk are not the appropriate collections to be there. Shoving was discussed quite a bit, especially in adults, that they can't use any shelving in the fact they would like a little more. So that, as we could work on things, if we do stay within this footprint, whereas we can figure out where the AV collection should be, so that as that decreases, other collections can take its place, or it could be study space or something like that, but that's the only collection that seems to want to decrease since the others want to. The computers don't need to be near the CERC desk. They might better be placed where they should be anyhow, which is by the reference desk. I mentioned this in previous slides that the seating for adults should be more comfortable and provide different options. A fireplace did come up through some people talked about that. And then I already talked about the study rooms earlier, that if you have enough, but maybe we'll rework some of them. And then the flow just from, it's almost from building to building to building right now, so just kind of that feeling more cohesive. The team, it just, Jack talked about needing a little bit of a freshen up and being more flexible. But otherwise, I mean, it's pretty positive comments about what you have.
And the youth collection upstairs is really beautiful also. It's flooded with sunlight, I think, and there's just some organization things. The story room needs to be larger, but they do want to keep two separate rooms, sort of the craft room and the story room. I think that works out well for being used separately. More comfortable furniture. Again, I think that's the kind of a thing that we're seeing throughout. Tween space, it is that between. It's 5 years ago, it was teens. You know, teens came to the library, but now they're starting to become more, and now the tweens are actually getting older with the age groups to kind of get them in and keep them in as future patrons. Keep craft out of the open space, and then play area could be larger. I think there's a lot of opportunity up there to sort of create that open play area, which I think has been hugely popular. And family restroom and nursery rooms on the second floor also. The restrooms are in a really bizarre place on the second floor. It's crazy planning. Like, we went up there, like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And we've been here a couple years ago, but it's we don't know how to fix that directly, but we do think there's a way to get a restroom closer to the kids to make sure they're, you know, it's just more useful.
Yeah.
And then
we heard that they come down here and we can't find the ones,
right,
family restrooms that you have down here, and then they shouldn't be coming down here anyway for that. So.
And then the nursery rooms, I you know, if there's anything consistent in the spaces, we can do a nursery room, then which also has doubling for sort of a sensory room where it can be a little quieter, or for kids that are overloaded or people which is kind of a spot to kind of remove yourself for a second and come back in.
And the adult staff area is way too small.
Yeah. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it. So now we want to hear from you.
Okay. Is there questions on what we presented or things?
I just think it's great. The staff really participated.
It was awesome.
There's a couple of people here. The staff participated. No, I think there's great ideas. I feel like the points were addressed that needed to be.
Easier for us just to sit here? Or
if you need to move the slides around, we can. Yeah,
I can. If you let me know, I can jump back and forth.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
That's great.
Movies, so they're not like oriented.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yep.
I have a question about beyond this focus group being a board. How are you going to involve the community?
So we two ways, I think. One, we spoke with Carolyn a little bit about this before she went on her leave. But we have spoken with the company that does the community surveys. We had our initial meeting with them, kind of talked about the scale of the project, like what you were hoping to achieve with reaching out to the community. One, understanding what people want that come to the library, what they want for the future library. And then B is kind of reaching out to patrons that maybe don't understand what the library can offer and kind of understanding how to get engaged with them too. So we have emailed back and forth with Mallory. And then we're working on sort of getting the two parties or three parties together, ourselves, EOS, and the lab, and this Mallory and the staff, to kind of go over a programming session with that survey company to kind of get that engaged. The second, I think, is to probably once we have ideas of schemes or ideas of scales of stuff, that's typically when we start to maybe set up a community meeting where they can react to something and kind of understand the scale. And that's up to you guys if we want to do it when we have multiple schemes or if we want to kind of have a community open house when we have a more developed scheme. Because sometimes when you don't show them developed plans, it can kind of get veer off path pretty quickly. And a lot of times we want to show them that we listen to the staff and people that came to the library and the community, and then through the survey also, and then what that turned out to be in terms of plans.
And a lot of times they don't know what they're missing.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't know because they've gone away from the library because we haven't met their needs and they're going elsewhere. So we need to bring them back because there are other libraries that have been more innovative when you've done some of them.
Sure.
So people are venturing off and now if they know that we have these things, we'll bring them back. That's the goal. That's the big goal.
Got
it. Less than 25% of our population have a library card.
Okay.
And quite frankly, I think we're unknown to a lot of the community. I recently had conversations with a number of different people, and one person said they thought that our physical library here was a branch of Poplar Creek Library.
Okay.
I had another person tell me that they had a group that had tried to meet here and been unsuccessful in doing that. They're going out of the community to Poplar Creek. You know, there are those sorts of things that I think there are a lot of people who have no idea.
Sure.
So I think in order to be successful, we have to reach those people that aren't already part of our active audience, because whatever we do, ultimately, they're the taxpayers who are funding, whether it's within our current budget or, you know, if we have grandiose plans, which I don't know, might be asked to vote on a referendum to fund that sort of thing, unless we have some involvement. I think Roselle Library recently lost a referendum because their community didn't understand what they were trying to do.
Correct.
And are going again. Your survey for use that is now working with them on addressing that issue.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are a lot of pieces in the air that
because we don't do this that often, we need to do it right. Because, you know, it's been 25 plus years since we've expanded this building.
Sure.
And that was for 19,000 populations, or double that.
Yeah, right.
Communities.
Yeah, I have about the survey. Who? I want a survey that reaches out to the community, right? I want to make sure the questions are open-ended, that are not push questions towards any particular type of...
Yes, sir.
You know, should we build on them? Just what does the community want?
Absolutely. Okay.
That's what I'm concerned about, because that's what we're here for.
And you don't want to hear what you know. I agree with that. So the survey questions are actually built with the library. So they come in with ideas about, or what they come in is understand the ideas of what you want to gain with the survey. And then they'll start to put together questionnaires that you guys can take a look at absolutely before they go out.
Okay.
So it's not a square peg, round hole kind of thing. It really is come in and show us what you need. And they start to build their questionnaire around those goals. So,
Trustee DeSchmidt. So you have community that, you know, just on a broad spectrum. You have students at schools that are in regular curriculum programs. I have three that went through the program, and some of them were in the academy, that were exposed to completely different technology. Okay, and those kids can go to that school and play with that technology, but the other students that have never experienced it, that's, I think it's such a benefit to bring that in for that, is to have the technology to bring that in. And I found something online that I just wanted to read that really caught my attention and in my heart. The wave of innovation encompasses a comprehensive approach to improve user experience and expand the library's impact. And I think that's the goal that I feel it's important to reach, is to be a vibrant center of knowledge and innovation, and to bring that you know, diversity and everything into the library. And I think we have the same community, the same people living in Bartlett are living in Carroll Stream and all over the world. But the community may be dependent on what the school is offering, and we aren't offering that, you know, to them at this level. So I think that needs to be considered.
Thank you.
You know, in a perfect world, we would love to be able to say, just do everything. But there's going to be limitations with time, space, and money. How do you handle those types of things?
So, yeah, those same things that we, it is those options that we show you. So we'll build the plans, again, in degrees of construction and complexity. And then we'll assign values to them. We call it a la carte. Meaning that you can go in and you can order the sandwich or just the drink, or you can get the fries and you can get the whole meal. So you'll have a if you don't have a direct understanding of all the different potentials and options that you have and how much they'll cost and what it means to the library by the end, we'll stop and redo it and get it right for you. Because we've done lots of these studies, and I think we're very good at showing you at the end of the process where it is best to spend your dollars and where what it means to spend the dollars on the things that you've selected in the final plan.
Or like the furniture, be different.
Yes.
State in different quality as far as the furniture, so it can fit in our budget. Is that?
Yeah, we do that. And then a lot of the money is going to end up being how much construction you do. So it's looking at how flexible things are. In this library, it's going to be looking at where you have loud space and quiet space, and maybe you can separate things without a lot of construction and have collaborative space in your louder space. So we'll show you things that show different ways of doing things. Sometimes collections impacted, and you may need to do that to fit all the things that you want. So we'll kind of go over that.
So also, these surveys, you're collecting it, or are you sending the information to us? Because, you know, would you do a partnership with, say, the village and the schools and get the surveys to them so that there is a bigger flow of people?
I think that's really up to you, and I think that is dependent on cost. So the survey company can reach as far as you'd like. And I think those initial meetings that we have together will really be kind of hammering out how wide of a net you want to cast and what you're most comfortable with.
Well, it seems that, you know, a lot of the trustees would rather reach out to more people in our village. Obviously, we're sitting in the
almost the middle of the village. You know, 40,000 people, but they're not all in our library district. So, you know, I'm just curious, do you send them out, or, okay, that comes to us, and then it's up to us to...
No, so the way it works is we'll build the survey together as a team. And it really is, a lot of it is between the survey company and the library, and we're just kind of there to make sure that we're getting the information that we need, and the questions are not just directive, but open-ended, so that we kind of, we don't want people to give us solutions, we want to get people to give us their information so that we can make solutions based off real information. Imagine that.
It's interesting you mentioned about the survey, you know, because when it goes to homes, the kids don't always see it.
Right.
So I like what was said and mentioned about getting it to the kids, because parents will sit there and maybe fill it out one way, students will look at it differently.
Okay.
I also wanted to mention the study rooms. So I recently have used some of the study rooms for different purposes, and I thought I was having a privacy conversation on a Zoom call, and I wasn't. So what happened was, is I was in this small room with the brick and the sides, and I'm talking, it's a medical conference, and I'm talking in the medical conference world, and then somebody comes in next to me and they start speaking and I can hear everything. And I just realized that this conversation was not private and that anybody could have been sitting there when I was there studying and not talking. And so that concerned me. So they're against the wall and it's like brick and they're just like walls up. There's no sound barrier. It's not private.
Okay.
Very concerning. We'll never do that again.
Okay.
So just an FYI. And then I know you talked about furniture. I'm going to mention maybe some details. We have wooden chairs that when you're sitting there in a conference room for 2 hours, good luck getting up. They're tough. So I know there's a lot of comfortable seating out there. Other libraries have it. So it's definitely comfort and seating is going to be something that keeps people around.
Yep.
You know, so they're going to want to come and visit.
I'll tell you what we do for furniture when it comes time to select it. We go to the merchandise mart and we take a group of people of various ages and sizes, men and women, and everybody sits in it. And we kind of choose by doing the sit test. And then if you decide you want it sent here to have patrons test it out before you purchase, we can do that too. So you can test it and make sure it's good.
I'd like to make a comment about reaching the community. I also, on Saturday, went to the open house at Schaumburg Library. And I was very impressed with the work that had been done there, the organization, the flow. I liked the materials, the colors, etc. But what really impressed me about what was happening at the Schaumburg Library was they have a huge parking lot. And I almost didn't find a parking spot, because that is a very vibrant library where people are coming and going and participating. And unfortunately, we don't have that. And that's part of why I think we need to, in our survey, make sure that we connect with all the aspects of our community. They've done it.
Well, Schaumburg Library hit it out of the park. I don't know if anybody went there, but you can go anytime. I was blown away by everything.
Good.
Everything. I was in my dream world in the craft innovative room. But everything from, you know, just the whole thing, everything. So
I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
This feels good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really good. User friendly.
Yeah. And then circling back just a little bit, the survey company actually then compiles all the information. And they'll publish, how do I say this, the way we understood it with Roselle, there's a ton of information that comes in, and they start to break it down into a way that you can understand it. And then they'll actually get it down to like 8 or 10 really key things that you want to focus on as part of the project. And those will be decided by you. So there's this, again, really large piece of information in the back that you have full access to. But the community will more or less start to see the things that kind of distill out of that as part of the survey. So I think the most impressive thing that we found with the survey company with Roselle was the approachability of it. Their final presentation, we understood it really clearly. the staff and the board really got to the point of what they were trying to gain from it. There were some things they didn't expect. They thought technology sustainability would be way up here in terms of the things that people wanted to focus on for the new library, and it wasn't. Actually, they'd rather have larger library or outdoor spaces to spend their money on instead of sustainability. And if they can fit sustainability in there, that's great. But they wanted to make sure the library itself was programmed to the right size before they did that. So one of the board members always wanted to get back to that message, and the survey company was like, actually, for the referendum specifically, they're like, really focus on the programming, the use spaces, and these things. And they were looking for different information than you guys are, but they really were able to take this really wide net, get it down to information that everybody could kind of understand and use as part of the process to move it forward. So it was good. It was actually really, I think, without that second player, which kind of boils it down and gets it to a more understandable size, I think it can be confusing and not so useful. So I hope that answered your question.
It does. So my next question is, so where do we go from here?
So we are going to set up a meeting between Mallory and the survey company. Mm-hmm. And they don't really have a proposal yet. What they want to do is understand the size. It has a lot to do with what you just said, which is, should we reach out to the school? Should we reach out? How big of a net do we want to cast? And making sure that we're asking the right questions. After that, they'll give a proposal to you guys to review. And then you can sign that proposal and we'll be on our way.
I think in the past when we've done surveys, it's been sent to homes. So it's the parent that's filling it out. We're not getting the feedback.
I really like that idea. Yeah,
the teenagers and that. I think that's a good approach.
Okay.
You know, to keep it more open-ended. The questions, you know, that Dave said, and then reaching the schools. You know, and then we talked about library card enrollment. I know that's not part of the thing here, but it's something to consider when we send out the survey is as to somehow see how we can reach to get more people signed up.
Sounds great.
I'd like to kind of as a background issue ensure that what you're doing ultimately as far as proposals will optimize our consumption of energy.
Okay.
I think that's so important. That's a much more expensive and increasingly expensive part of doing business. And, you know, if we put in all glass walls on one side of the building, you know, as part of a proposal, I want to make sure that it's taking into account what the associated cost might be.
Thank you. Absolutely.
And keep in mind, our mission statement is best place to learn and discover.
Okay.
We got great literature going out to the people that bring them in. We just need to make sure we get them in and keep them coming back.
What do you think the timeline is now that you actually have started? I mean, it's still real early, but we're still not talking about getting done by the end of the calendar year, I'm assuming.
Probably not, no.
Yeah.
What I had talked to Dan and Tiffany about when we met with Larry and Carolyn is exactly what you said, Joe. We don't do this often, so we want to take the time to do it thoroughly and accurately. And if that means it goes into next year, fiscal year, we don't know. So we're taking our time with it.
We all agree with that. We thought that was a great idea. And then our next steps for ourselves is after this meeting, so we've met with staff and the management team and then you guys, we will start to develop schemes in drawings and plans. So it'll take us a little bit to get those started in a way, but that is the next step. And then simultaneously, we will be meeting with the survey company to get that process started also.
Yeah, and also after meeting with you today, it gives everyone else an opportunity to, you know, if there's more ideas that we can send you.
Please. No, we're Tiffany always said something really early in our firm, and we work until you guys are happy. Ending the process because, you know, we're the drawings or the plans, that doesn't make any sense to us. So it's such an important initial step that we will work until everyone's satisfied and you sort of, again, you understand where we're at in terms of scope, dollars, and quality. which I think are the three things that change the process.
So one thing I wanted to mention, I walked in the library to check the mailbox, and as I was leaving the library, I see the sign about Hispanic information and people that influenced our community as I'm leaving. What I'd like to see is when I walk through the lobby doors, I've been saying this since a long time, many years, I'd like to see the videos gone, and I feel like we look like Blockbuster, and I'd like to see the videos gone, and, you know, like some libraries will have a theme for that month, or they'll do a display. So maybe it's Martin Luther King, or it's, oh, we're having a Sherlock Holmes event, or we're having this, whatever it is. So people see it when they walk in, not when they're leaving. I think it's a good idea that what we have is good, but I think that we could utilize that space as just having somewhere set up. If it's moved and there's comfortable seating in that entranceway, and there's some kind of an area where there's maybe a display of just something that's going on, maybe pertinent to the community, or, you know, that time of the year, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like we get hit with a lot of stuff, but then we still got to go through the videos to see the copy machine and to see everything. It's very crowded.
You don't see someone to help you for a while.
Right.
You don't recognize that it's a lobby, a library necessarily until you're kind of far in. So.
Well, and that's the other thing. The library was changed. At one time you walked in and the desk was faced a different way and you were greeted. It's hard sometimes for the staff to be facing this way and see you when you come in.
So even when kids are coming down the stairs to leave, they don't, you know, they don't have to go to the desk. They can just run out the door. So they should be seeing someone too.
Right.
I'm interested in hearing about staff workspaces. I think staff workspaces are underrated in the way that, like, how are we letting folks work and carrying out their job? Are there meeting spaces? Do they have enough, like, desk space? I personally feel like the youth services space, like office, I've never been back there. I peek sometimes. It's just, it's way too crowded. And I know some of the, for sure, the adult services space too. So
yep.
I'm interested in hearing how that is going to be developed.
Yeah, so when meeting with staff, there was definite talk about staff spaces and a couple different layers. One is where they're at, kind of how the staff engages one another, and then access to the staff from public spaces to private spaces. There was a lot of discussion about getting to those back workspaces from like the reference desk right now. Either you can go to adult services or you really have to do like come all the way around just to get yourself back in. So one is an organizational problem, kind of. Ones, they're a little bit siloed and they're a little bit, they're absolutely small. Some of them are actually right size, but a little bit small. And then there isn't a lot of sort of spatial hierarchy in the offices too. So like managers don't really have offices. Like there's just some things that need to be cleaned up in terms of kind of equality across the base. And then second is actual like work stations, you know, where people are at. I'm using the adult services as an example because it's easy. They're at about half the size what they really should be in order to be efficient in terms of the workflow that they need to do. It's impossible to even have a cart next to them while they're working and anybody else actually sit at their desk. We walked in and we're like, this is 6 or 5 people. I was like, that's impossible. Like, first of all, it's kind of impressive. Like it's like the most efficient workspace ever, but it's enough where you can't think. You're just always doing what you have to do at that moment and then shifting and not really be able to let things lie or stew a bit, you know, which I think is sort of bad with information. So we are going to look at, we don't look at just the private spaces in the library, we'll look at everything. And it is funny because a lot of times when you see the initial plan, it looks a little messy, or it looks kind of really messy. And then you'll see the first couple iterations and you just start to see the efficiency of a good space plan. And that's when you'll start to see the sort of staff spaces kind of react to the things that are wrong in the library today.
Yeah, I'm also interested in hearing more, and I know you all know, but like the thought about vinyl versus cloth material seating. I mean, the amount of just spot cleaning that has to go on is
we don't use cloth anymore. We don't even like cloth samples in our office.
We're not purchasing that anymore.
We have the CTA rule, which is like if it can go on a train and public can use it to that degree. And then we can find it. And actually, their fabrics are getting way more it looks like fabric now, actually, yeah. Some of the, yeah. the vinyl textiles, but we are 100% behind you.
Yeah. I mean, and that in thinking of how we sanitize things after
yep.
COVID.
No, absolutely.
And I know you've all talked about how we need to change things up and, you know, make things interchangeable so that we can make spaces not or make it static, really.
Yep.
But just also how we sanitize things, especially okay. for little ones.
No, absolutely. Absolutely agree. Great idea.
And, you know, the comment was made about the noise level or hearing private conversations. I was in the quiet room one time and magazines and all that, and right next was a meeting going on. It wasn't a large group,
yes.
but it was like they were sitting right next to me. Yeah. And, you know, I thought, I'm in the quiet room. And then, like, you know, just see, yeah. like a thin little piece of glass
sure.
separating us.
Okay. Well, and that's what's over there on the east side.
Yeah,
we were in a we were in a meeting, and right next door you could hear everything.
Okay.
That's also partly with the hub right now, just because
yeah.
the ceiling tiles
yeah.
are.
I don't know. This was a long time ago.
Yeah, I think that, a lot on the older side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
With
yeah,
the
that,
adult
that
services.
Even came up in our meetings that meeting room doesn't belong next to the quiet room.
Yeah, it was a quiet room.
That's funny.
Anything else?
I have a motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Maybe the whole thing.
Second
it.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll send the presentation to Mallory.
Yep.
She can get it to you guys. And please, if anything comes up at all, we're always available either by email or phone call.
Yep.
Or you'll understand when meetings that we have to. So we're always available to listen and talk about ideas.
Well, sure. Thank you. We appreciate
no,
it.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Olson?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Lawyer?
Yes.
Ives, absent, Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Danny?
Yes.